Join us WrestleMania weekend for the Internet Darlings live event featuring your favorite wrestling YouTubers. The link is in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife.
Marie.
And you are going in SmackDown Live. Who needs Raw?
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson and anywhere fine podcasts are available, including the iTunes, where if you hit that subscribe download button, even if you're watching here at youtube.com/Steven Larson, it helps us out. It jacks us up in those rankings, the sports and rec category thing. I think Edge and Christian are probably still number one, though. They don't even have an episode out, Larson, and they're number one.
Oh, really?
Why can't we be Edge and Christian?
You know, because why? We never wrestled.
Because, oh, they're number two.
I would never do half the things.
Oh,
I wouldn't
fuck,
do pretty
no. Are
much
you kidding
any
me?
Of the things those guys did
I
in the
am
ring.
More than happy to have a podcast that hovers around 100.
Yes, rather than take those kind of bumps
rather
on
than
a regular
take those
basis.
Kind of bumps. On the other hand, if you're Edge, live sex show with Lita. So you could have had that if you were Edge. Anyways, good for them. I love those. They're super entertaining guys. Oh,
yeah,
man,
they are.
We fell out of the top 100. We're at 105.
Oh, no.
God damn it. Anyways, that's why we need your help. Hit that subscribe download button.
We're also on the Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson, mm-hmm. where we have various reward tiers.
We have 50 people watching
for your
us
contributions.
Right now,
yes.
In a live stream, interacting
and
with each other.
And you can do
and
that
us.
Too for the great value of $5 per month. Weekly stream.
That's right. Weekly golden stream. It's pure gold, Larson.
Oh.
Golden stream.
Okay.
All over you.
All right.
PP. And yeah, and every week I like to announce the new patrons that we are welcoming to the patron family.
Yeah.
The Alberto Del Patreon family. Have I been calling him Alberto Al Patreon lately? Because somebody pointed out
oh, yeah,
in
yeah.
the comments.
I think here and there you do, but it's a joke, obviously.
It started out as a joke, and now I think his name is actually Alberto Al Patreon. Anyways, yeah, I like this because, you know, people open up their PayPals, their wallets, or whatever
yes.
on the Patreon to help support the show.
Yes.
And, you know, we're about to buy some new lights, perhaps,
yeah.
with the show money. And so I like to read their names off real quick. As of last Tuesday, Marcial Javier MJ Santana, Cold Stone Steve Austin.
Yeah, that's good.
Matt Swedgson, Tristan Larson, Sir Rampunditer, Matthew Rogers, Aluminum Kyle Tyson, El Joker Martinez, Charles Sips, Nathan Broomfield, Jack Window, Nick Faylor, Freddie Adelid Garcia. Freddie Adelid. Adelid. That's an interesting name. Larry Dempsey, The Lone Burrito. Mega City One, Intercity Heavyweight Champion, Bailiff Balls McCluskey.
Wow.
That's a great name.
It is.
Lee Kraft. That's an even better name. I mm-hmm. like that. Lee Kraft. Mm-hmm. Sounds like an assassin. Lee Kraft. Who did it? Lee Kraft. Crafty Lee Kraft. Neil Atchison, Chuck Feescake, Jeff of all games, Keaton Rees, David Lipkin, Argyle Alligator, Roger Smith, Ryan Steele, JR Sucks Balls, Andrew Kwiatkowski, Ramiro Magdaleno, Johnny B, Felix Voigt, Dalton Hemingway, Jay Smith, and Jeremy Ball. I'll put in money to pay.
Thank you very, very,
thank
very,
you very much.
Much.
And right now there's somebody in the comments saying this is when they stop talking about the patrons at this time code. Anyways.
Oh, wait. We didn't mention our pro wrestling tee shop yet.
ProWrestlingTees.com/going in raw. We got a brand new shirt, R.A.P. Ulysses from the W. Steve W. brand show.
As well as logos for all our various properties. Going In Raw, Fun Wrestling, W. Steve W. and Friendo Unified Championship Wrestling.
I have an Earl Smothers Pile Driver Academy shirt.
Oh.
Waiting to go. It's
okay.
Ready to go up.
Cool.
So I'm going to put it up. We need some more fun merchandise.
I know. I'm going to make, I have some ideas.
All right. I like it a lot. Anyways, let's talk about...
I just need to find hours in the day to do them.
Raw!
Hey,
you ever watch like on PBS? Like late at night, they've got like those... They show stage shows. They show like opera
oh, yeah.
and stuff. What do you think about those? Yay or nay?
Sure.
Opera, yay or nay?
I've been to the opera before.
Really?
Yeah, I went once.
You've been to the opera?
Yeah.
Man, was it boring as shit? seems like it'd be fascinating for like 10 minutes, and then it's like, man, I think I've seen everything I need to see here.
No, it wasn't boring.
Really?
No.
Were you enthralled? Did you know what the hell was going on? Did they have a program that explained it to you?
Yeah. I would but love also... Mm-hmm.
Was it in English?
No.
Did you make them out?
I think it was in...
Italiano. Italiano.
I think it was in German. And then I believe, while they were singing, they had subtitles above or below the stage.
The fuck?
I think. So you knew
what
was going on. Well, they know the lyrics.
It was like a TV or something?
No, it was, you know, like a... Like
is there
a,
like a guy? I don't know.
Like
how do they...
They're like scrolling.
How do you do subtitles live? What's scrolling? Is there an LED?
You have it. You could have it programmed. Yeah, like an LED board that had the lyrics on there.
You can have what programmed?
You know the lyrics. You could program...
Oh, like, no, I know.
Like, I'm sure the timing saying, of the show is very exact.
Where were the
exact.
Subtitles? Like, do they just appear in
no,
thin air?
No, I told you, there's like an LED thing they had, oh, okay. I think, above the stage. I don't
so
remember
like
exactly
a TV.
The placement.
It's like a TV set.
More like a stock ticker. That's how I remember. I could be completely wrong. Sometimes I just remember things
you're
that didn't happen.
You're so wrong. Anyways.
But yes, I went to the opera once.
Raw in a nutshell.
It was fun.
You know, I liked it. I thought it was really good. I thought it had a really strong
end. You know
really
what I did?
End.
I decided to start taking better notes, which, of course, forces me to pay closer attention to what is going on.
Yeah.
And that so I think be. I appreciate the show more. Sometimes, like, if within the first 10, 15 minutes of Raw doesn't grab me, I just go on my phone.
Look, man.
And kind of have it play in the background. I'll be honest.
We had the biggest rainmaker this year. No, wait. The second biggest rainmaker this year. The first biggest probably would have been when Okada hit it on Omega.
Yeah.
But the second biggest rainmaker all year was Dana Brooke hitting the rainmaker on fucking Charlotte. I marked out so fucking hardcore for that. I literally yelled it. It was amazing. I was so fucking happy. She was so over. That's like the most over she'll ever be.
Yeah.
But it was fantastic. I love when they have those little moments.
Yeah.
Fucking Dana Brooke's rainmaker was amazing. Nobody will ever kick out of that.
Well... That remains to be seen.
Oh, man.
I don't remember what her finisher was in NXT.
I don't know, but it needs to be the fucking Rainmaker now, man.
It wasn't quite the Rainmaker. It was a short arm clothesline, but she didn't, you know, like...
Wrist lock lariat.
Yeah, she didn't go that far because she didn't start it
she
from behind her
she
opponent.
She didn't roll them in and then roll them out.
And then roll them out and then Rainmaker.
Still, she didn't need
it
to.
It was just a short arm.
She didn't need to.
It was a short...
So powerful.
It was a short arm clothesline.
It was like Rainmaker meets clothesline from hell.
Yeah.
Nobody will ever kick out of that. Anyways.
Can you do that? Can you run and then do a Rainmaker? Because that's what, you know, clothesline from hell was
do you
a running lariat.
Do you think that it's more the running or the fact that his giant hoss body fell into it? I feel because he...
Both.
He, like, fell into that shit.
Yeah, I know.
Clothesline from hell is amazing.
I know. Because he ran, then fell into it. That's all the momentum going straight into lariat.
If we ever have the pleasure... You know, the more and more I think about it, the more and more I really like JBL. I'm on a JBL kick these days.
Okay.
I really... Because he's anti-Moro. I like JBL. And he's got that clothesline from hell. And he was just a big hoss. Like, JBL really didn't look that much. Like, I could be JBL. I could be that body easily.
Yeah.
I'd have to eat a lot more and be at the gym a lot more just to work on my arms.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he had big arms.
He did.
And big boobs.
Mm-hmm.
He had big boo-boos.
Mm-hmm.
Lesnar and Heyman opened the show.
Yes.
And Paul Heyman dropped what I thought was kind of just, you know, Heyman's kind of... We sort of have to... We take Paul Heyman for granted these days, but so much of what he says kind of echoes what he says...
Oh, yeah, times. Yeah, yeah.
So there isn't a lot new coming out of him.
Yeah.
As opposed to when they did the sit-down thing with Brock
Lesnar.
Yeah,
that Lesner, was good.
I thought that was really
good. That was
good.
Really creative.
This one wasn't as good, but a good way to start the show. You're starting with Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman.
Yeah.
You know, who's complaining
about
that?
Yeah, I mean, he can go out and hype a match, and I will be into it, regardless if he says the same thing 4 weeks in a row, because he always finds a different way to say the same things.
Mm-hmm, yeah,
a different
totally.
Take, you know?
No, this is a good point here. In the chat, Patreon chat, Clayton C. says, we just need the camera to pan out when she does the Rainmaker.
Oh, yeah.
I love that shit.
Yeah.
Okay, anyways. So then we had kind of the setup for our mini story throughout the episode. Where
that's kind of the overarching narrative of the whole episode.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Stephanie told Mick Foley that as part of his duties as general manager, he has to fire someone.
Well, she wanted to heal the wounds between them because there had been some tension between the two.
Yeah.
And you know, she wants them to work on the same page, to work together to make Raw the best show they can.
Yeah, sure.
And she said, I'm going to teach you some business lessons, essentially.
How about this, Stephanie? Go hire some SmackDown writers. Do that. Pare the show down to 2 hours. Go blue.
Let's I'm going to teach you how to do business.
Business.
That's what Stephanie said.
Yeah.
Your first task.
Yeah.
So you don't think emotionally. You think as a business person. Mm-hmm. You have to go through the entire Raw roster and pick one person to fire tonight by the end
Perkins.
Of the show.
TJ Perkins. CJ Perkins, right?
Well, we'll get to the end of the
TJ
show.
TJ Perkins?
We'll get to the end of the show.
I would have been like, Stephanie, done. Here, best friends now. Now I'm businessman. Now I do business.
So now I have MBA. I have a master's in business.
Now I have an MBA, exactly. So that set up what I thought was a fantastic finish to the show. But
yeah, we'll get to that later.
We'll get to that later. Then we had Sasha Banks with Bayley versus Dana Brooke with Charlotte.
Sort of a short match.
Sort of a Cold War match here.
Very short match.
Mm-hmm.
And Sasha picked up the win.
With a roll-up and tights.
Yeah, got some tights during the roll-up. Get the win.
So Charlotte comes in and says, "You're fired!"
Yeah, she says to Dana, "I'm done with you.
Yeah.
You're a disappointment as a protege."
She barely got that many words out. Like, it was like, she said, "I'm done with you," and then she started talking a little bit more, and Dana Brooke immediately, like, threw her.
Went from disappointed by loss.
Yeah.
To kind of confuse why she's being fired to mad.
So fuck you.
To rage.
Yeah.
All the span of about 10 seconds.
Here's my counter offer to your counter offer. Go fuck yourself. That's my favorite line out of Deadwood.
And then, as you said, Rainmaker.
Rainmaker! Oh my God, it was fantastic. It's just a wrist lock lariat.
No, in this case, it was a short arm clothesline.
That shit had stank on it.
Oh,
it
did.
Great. And Charlotte was like, it was great. Charlotte's so great too, because she got her ass whooped by Dana Brooke. And then when she's on the outside, she starts to like fix her hair, like try to get her composure back. But it's like, nah, you just got rain.
Seals the deal that Charlotte's not picking up that women's title at WrestleMania though. Guaranteed.
Oh, what, you think Dana Brooke's going to interfere?
Yeah. Or at least, you know.
Dana Brooke's going to come in and start raining Rainmakers on everybody?
Well, at least just on Charlotte.
Then she's going to pick up the title and say, Rainmaker!
So the finish for the women's title match, WrestleMania, is going to be a dusty finish with Dana Brooke standing tall.
Litham, baby. And she's going to go like this. Claim L.I.J. Okay, let's see here. Then we had the cutaway to 205 Live. We had TJ Perkins and Tozawa, yay, versus Brian Kendrick, yay, Tony Nese, yay. Tony Nese got the fucking pin. That was great.
Yeah, he did. And Brian Kendrick, as always, great pants.
Oh, man.
Week in and week out, he has the best pants in all of wrestling, I think.
Well, he has like the market cornered on iridescence.
Yes.
That's what's great about it.
Yes.
Is that it's just varying levels of iridescence.
I know.
It's pretty great.
It is great. This was actually a really good match.
No, this was a lot of fun. I was actually really into it, and I was like watching TJ Perkins. I'm like, God damn, he is a good wrestler.
He is a good wrestler.
But it's like, dude, the most annoying person on the planet is like a good wrestler. That's the problem with it. Is like he's like the most annoying person in the world.
He's not the most annoying person in
the world. Name a person more annoying than him, and don't say me.
Well, that was my answer.
Damn it. Name one more annoying person.
I mean, you set the bar pretty high.
Yeah, I did.
So, yeah, just you.
Yeah, just me. Oh, man. Anyways, Tony Nese, Tozawa got knocked out of the ring.
Yeah, Nese pushed Perkins into Tozawa, which led to Nese getting the roll-up win on Perkins. You're not that annoying.
I know. What the heck, man? I don't care. Tony Nese, I know. That was like he kind of came out on top more than anybody else here. That was kind of cool. I want them to start pushing Tony Nese, but the problem is he is a charisma vacuum.
You know what? His trash talk in the ring isn't bad.
They need to give him like a narcissist persona.
Yeah.
Like, then, because well, it's kind of what it is already, yeah. But like, okay, Luger right here, they did the narcissist thing with him and it was like hugely over. And he was
Are you sure about that?
No, I was totally joking.
Okay.
See if you're paying attention.
Oh yeah.
You know what's weird though? It is so weird. Luger in WCW.
You keep saying that.
Watch some of his promos. This dude was spitting fire.
Yeah.
And then he shows up in WWE and it's like they gave him a fucking lobotomy or something. Remember like at the end of remember the end of that Jack Nicholson movie?
Yeah.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest?
Yeah.
And he was like,
yeah, because he had a lobotomy.
It was the same as him. He would just stand there and look in a mirror. Look at his face. Tell me that's not lobotomy face. That dude's coming out with lobotomy face.
As opposed to.
Exactly. As opposed to. That's literally right. That's right before he went to WWF. That's literally post-lobotomy. He was fucking dope in WCW.
Okay, say that.
Anyways, Tony Nese lobotomized.
Well, I was going to say, Tony Nese, his in-ring character work is generally pretty good.
Yeah, I know.
It's just finding a way to take that and having that translate to maybe he just he's just not one of those guys that should be doing scripted promos. Maybe that's all it is.
Yeah, I don't know how you.
I'd be interested
yeah.
to see if it, you know, some of the promo work he did before he joined the cruiserweight division in the indies.
Mm-hmm.
How that went.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, out there, it's like it's a bit easier to get away with just your wrestling. You know, you don't have to be telling a story through your character week after week.
Yeah.
You know. Let's see here. We had, I mean, for example, like, so like Leo Rush, I don't see him like, he's young. He's like only 22. You watch him in the ring and you're like amazed.
Yeah.
See him on the mic and it's not all like great, but it's like it doesn't need to be because he's in, you know, Ring of Honor and he's doing the indie circuit. So it's like you don't really need... He doesn't need to have like a fully fleshed out character. Tony Nese, you're on WWE TV twice a week.
Yeah.
You know, at you know, at the most.
Yeah, he's been a pretty featured competitor on Raw and 205 Live.
That's like sort of the never. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he can be, maybe he just needs to be like an out and out heel or something.
He kind of is.
Yeah, I know, but I mean like a Neville heel.
Oh.
Not everybody has Neville's, you know, obvious gifts on the mic now that we've discovered this. But, yeah. you know, it took him like 3 years for us to actually find that out.
Yeah.
It took like unlocking that sort of character thing in him.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll be the same for Tony Nese. How old is Tony Nese? Is he young?
I would suspect he's
Tony, give me.
No more in his early 30s.
Give me your guess. 30 what?
29.
31. So he's still young.
Yeah.
He has plenty of time. Anyways, moving on.
We got a Gallows Anderson interview.
I didn't see this part. I just saw the part afterwards. Oh, wait. I kind of saw a little bit of this. What did they say in this?
This is like one of the few things I didn't write notes for.
Oh, okay. That's fine. Probably didn't say anything interesting. Later on, they
nothing different. I think yeah. they went on about, you know, their dominance on in, around the world in terms of tag team wrestling.
Yeah, that's a good... Even if they didn't say that, it's a good bet to say that because chances are they did. Owens came out. Kevin Owens came out and they dropped the spotlight on him again. He delivered another great promo. This yes. guy, dude, he is so good. He, like, I thought that the Festival of Friendship thing was a really good endpoint for that.
Yeah.
Because I really like where it's at now. And
yes.
seeing him and Samoa Joe team up last night, I thought was such a breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
It was so fun seeing those guys. A couple of fucking angry heels.
Yes.
So he comes out, drops a great promo. And says, who needs a best friend when you have a destroyer?
Yeah.
And Samoa Joe comes out. And they tag team against Sami Zayn and Chris Jericho.
Wasn't a very long match because at one point, Kevin Owens super kicks Jericho.
Right.
Sends Jericho to the outside. And then Joe and Owens tag team on Sami Zayn, beat the hell out of him.
Yeah.
Ref calls for the bell, DQ. Samoa Joe chokes out Sami Zayn.
Right.
And then Owens is continuing to beat on him while Joe is choking out Sammy. Jericho comes back in.
Yeah.
Joe exits. Owens and Jericho brawl. Mm-hmm. Joe comes back in, continues beating on Jericho. They beat on him a bunch.
Yeah.
Leading to a pop-up powerbomb. Owens and Joe stand tall.
So are we still thinking that we're going to get Joe versus Sami Zayn at WrestleMania?
I still don't understand what the justification for it would be.
Yeah.
For a one-on-one match.
I'm not sure why did Sami Zayn, like after Sami Zayn got beat at Fastlane, why did he come back and start beating up Joe? Just because he was still pissed off at him?
I guess, but maybe they're not sure what they want to do with Finn yet.
After last night, they better figure that shit out quick.
I'm still thinking he's not going to come back till the Raw after Mania.
I think you're
Mania.
Right about that.
I don't know. Because right now they have 2 weeks to set up a story for him.
Yeah, it's not. That's not going to happen. He's not going to. I think it's going to be. It's got to be Sami Zayn versus Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
I mean, the way things are going now, that has to be it. I mean, maybe next week Sami Zayn will say something that will, you know, give their match some purpose.
Yeah.
But yeah, after I was like, okay, well, if it's not last night, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Like,
did you see Finn on Twitter?
Yeah.
Posted that picture of him, I guess, at his apartment.
Yeah. He said, "What channel is Raw on?"
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
After the reports came out that he was backstage at Raw last night.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm fine with Sami Zayn. Maybe that was the thing. Maybe the Fastlane match was like meant to be not that great a match because they were saving up for the WrestleMania moment. I could totally see it. I'm totally fine with Sami Zayn versus Joe.
Oh, yeah.
I actually kind of like that better than Finn Balor because we saw a lot of Finn Balor Joe
yes.
already in NXT. So, I'm fine with this because I think these two can put on a really, really like show-stealing match.
Yeah,
totally
that's,
fine.
That's what
it.
We thought at Fastlane.
Yeah.
That Joe and Sami Zayn would be great.
But maybe they're just waiting to steal the show at Mania, which I don't know. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Anyways.
So next we had more of Mick Foley and Stephanie backstage. Stephanie brings up possibility of firing Sami Zayn.
You're fired.
She doesn't like Sami Zayn for some reason.
No, she doesn't. She always has like a freaking rage boner for him.
In walks Nia Jax.
Hi, guys.
And she feels that she was unfairly left out of the women's title match at WrestleMania.
Let me talk to your manager, man.
And so she wants, I think as she put it, justice for not being in that match. Right. So Steph gives her a match against Bayley.
She says to you, you absolutely deserve to be in the title scene. So to give you a spotlight, we're going to have you fight Bayley.
Why didn't Steph just put her in the match at WrestleMania then?
I don't know. Is a spotlight better than being in the match?
I don't think so.
I mean, it works good for Kevin Owens' promos.
Yes.
They didn't literally give her a spotlight, though. That was a problem here. She never got her actual spotlight.
It might be kind of difficult to wrestle with just a spotlight on.
You think so?
You and your opponent, yeah.
Depending on where the spotlight is.
Well, the because spotlight would have to follow the action.
It'd be more difficult for the guy controlling the spotlight.
Yeah, but if he misses, then you're essentially wrestling in the dark. That might be safe.
Well, yeah, but your eyes adjust.
To a degree.
So then Nia Jax took on Bayley.
Later on.
We'll get to that later. Foley backstage. Jinder Mahal comes in. Doesn't want to be fired. Wants to prove he's main event talent, according to your notes here.
Yeah, that's what he said.
He's fucking jacked. That guy's got the... That dude's body all of a sudden looks like Sabu's body. You know, like Sabu's body just looks weathered and beat. Mahal's kind of looks like that too. But somehow he achieved that simply by going to the gym. Because it's like so veiny.
Yeah, I know.
And textured.
Yeah.
It's really textured. And then you can see there's some weird things going on with his like pecs. Like, I mean, he's in great shape. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
It's just him being in great shape gives him like a really like war-torn body. I think it's cool. I think it looks neat. I'm not dogging him.
Oh, I know.
My stomach is growling something fierce. I forgot my banana
can hear it
today. Yeah.
So Mick Foley gives him a match against Roman Reigns.
Gee, I wonder who's going to win that one.
Next, we had The New Day debuting, which may be a new segment, I don't know, called New Day Talks.
Yeah. Didn't they do this last week with...
Was it backstage, though?
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah, they came out last week.
Yeah.
They really did. I don't want this backstage. This needs to be in the ring.
I agree.
Yeah, because they could do something fun with the set. They always do fun stuff with the sets. Why don't they get a set?
Yeah. So it's like a talk show.
Yeah. Big Show was there promoting his new feature film, The Robomania, starring the Jetsons and Big Show.
Yes.
And Seth and Roman.
Other wrestlers, yeah.
Sheamus is in it, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you're right. Vince is in it, too.
Yeah! We're all cartoons.
What was interesting from
George this Jetson
segment.
You're going to join the Kiss My Asshole Club.
Was that apparently Big Show's match against Shaquille O'Neal isn't going to happen.
Because, did they actually say that? I was sort of not paying attention.
Yeah, they said that they asked Big Show about becoming the first two-time winner of the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
Okay, hold on now.
What?
Given the events that happened later on with Braun Strowman, do you think that's a positive? Do you think that they're going to take... Are they going to give Braun Strowman some other role? No, it's going to be Reigns Undertaker. They're not going to
make that. Yeah, I mean, they officially announced that.
Yeah.
There's already way too many triple threat matches at Mania.
Yeah. So wait, it's going to be Big Show and Braun in the Andre Battle Royal?
Yeah.
Are they like they want to make that unpredictable now? Because that's annoying.
Yeah.
I could see them totally having Big Show win this thing.
Oh, yeah.
Especially the way I've been booking Braun Strowman lately.
I know. And if this is going to be Big Show's last WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I could definitely see
Braun Strowman's going to be in a pre-show Battle Royal match that he's going to not win. Boy.
I'd rather actually not have him be on the card if that's the case.
I'd rather have him just come in like at the end of Undertaker Reigns and wreck Reigns.
Yeah.
That's like the only thing he does and reignite that rivalry. Or they're not going to have him wreck the Undertaker. Man, I don't know how the Undertaker is going to get out of bed for this one, man. He's so old.
Oh, you mean in terms of physically?
Yeah, he's so old.
I didn't know if he meant he's like, oh, man, I got to wrestle Roman Reigns today.
They're gonna book me to lose.
I know. They're going to retire me.
I don't like it.
To Roman Reigns.
I'm so old.
We'll get to that in a second because there's plenty to talk about there. So Titus comes in.
And
he wonders
Titus.
Why. I know Titus is great, and he wonders why Titus Brand wasn't cast in the Jetsons movie.
And, you know, here's the thing. There's a fine line between funny and asshole. And the New Day last night, their reaction to Titus coming in was funny. It didn't cross into asshole. Because when he shows up, Xavier Woods does this very exaggerated, Titus! And he's like, you weren't invited here. And that's funny.
Yeah.
That's funny. Sitting there clowning the guy for trying to come up with interesting ideas to help his career along. That's just asshole.
Yes.
So I was okay with this last night. He's like, Titus Brand should have been in Robomania, which, by the way, I totally would have fucking bought that DVD if instead of Big Show it was Titus Brand.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I totally would have been on board with that. Oh, man. Yeah. Come on. Give me a break.
That would be great.
So anyways, Titus ends up getting mad.
He pushes Big Show.
That leads to a match between them. So good for them. Titus will be in that battle royal. He'll collect a WrestleMania paycheck.
Yes. Next, we had a match to determine the new number one contender for the tag team titles.
Where's my $23? I had $23 in my wallet. I put it all on the line.
No, I didn't say I was going to take that bet. I said, yeah, that's right. That's what's going to happen.
So where do we get our $23 from then?
Well, I don't think anybody took your bet.
Oh.
Enzo and Cass against Cesaro and Sheamus, and as we both predicted, DQ. But what I liked about it is that Anderson and Gallows came out and beat up everybody. They actually looked dominant.
I know.
Finally.
Yeah. So Foley announced backstage, Anderson and Gallows, Foley comes up to him and is like, you guys are idiots. And they're like,
I love they said, well, you said the winner of this match would face us. So we beat up everybody, caused a DQ, so now we don't have a match.
No, there's no winner. He said that we made sure there's no winner.
That was great.
Foley said, do you really think there's not going to be a match? And they look so confused because, yes, they did think that.
But then after Foley announced it was going to be a triple threat at WrestleMania, they didn't even seem bothered by it.
I know.
They just kind of said, all right, fine.
All right, fine. Oh, man. So anyways, then we got Roman Reigns versus Jinder Mahal. What is it? It says gong?
Yeah, because The Undertaker's gong.
Oh,
yeah. Hit during the match.
I was like, did Mahal get some new music?
Distracting Roman Reigns. And for a brief moment...
The only person.
Mahal had the upper hand.
The only fucking person on the roster. Not Kevin Owens. Ooh, by the way, I saw a video of him in that Brock Lesnar
match. Oh, yeah. He actually got some offense and started the match.
Cool. I know. I liked it. He was very frenetic. It was cool. Good thing they didn't have it on pay-per-view. The only person who isn't done in.
Oh, yeah. By the distraction.
Who isn't subjected to a loss via distraction. Of course.
Is Roman Reigns.
Is Roman fucking Reigns. Hey, you know what? I bitch and bitch about people, about wrestlers who get distracted too easily. And he was the guy who keeps it real. He got distracted for a split second and then...
Mahal got the upper hand following distraction for a little bit. He got some offense in.
It helps when you're wrestling like prime jobber.
Well, in Reigns'
God
case...
God bless Jinder Mahal. He's doing everything he can to keep that job, man.
Yeah.
Good for him.
In Reigns' case, though, it helps to be basically a superhero.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It helps to have Vince McMahon. Like,
yeah. So Roman eventually wins with a Superman punch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Didn't take a spear.
No. Well, it's Jinder Mahal.
And then afterwards, he gets on the mic.
Mm-hmm.
And Roman calls out The Undertaker.
Yeah. And so, of course... Dun, 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 dun. I think I'm cute.
You know I'm sexy.
I got looks to fuck.
It's not the lyrics.
No.
Anyways, Shawn Michaels comes out.
HBK. Huge Mr. pop. WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Yeah. Big pop for HBK. Crowd goes crazy. And then he super kicks Roman Reigns.
That's not what happened.
And he says, I'm fighting The Undertaker.
No, he said. He comes out and says, hey, I've been in your spot before.
Yeah. What was the point of him coming out? To say that you have no chance against The Undertaker? He did the same thing with Triple H.
I know. Well, I mean, I actually kind of liked when he came out because when HBK won the belt the first time as a babyface, the crowd started to turn against him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I liked the fact that he came out and said, I've been in your shoes. I've been the guy that's been pushed, and the crowd didn't really accept you in the role you were
but
put in.
But he didn't offer any real solutions.
No, because that generally wasn't the larger point of his promo. The larger point of his promo was, The Undertaker, be wary of his mind games. He's already in your head. And if he's in your head now, you have no chance at WrestleMania. That's what HBK was saying.
Yeah, okay, so I
understand. And he was saying this the point about HBK being in Reigns' shoes. He said that so he wasn't coming out to attack him, essentially.
Yeah.
He was there to be friendly,
yeah,
to help him.
Okay, how though?
By warning him to not,
not
fall
fight
prey.
Undertaker.
No, to not get sucked in by The Undertaker's mind games.
He says he's already there. You're done. He essentially said, "There's no, you have no chance of winning right now."
Well, but then I would assume Roman Reigns would look at the tape of the Royal Rumble and see what kind of shape the Undertaker's in and think differently. Based on that tape.
I would have been totally into the segment if he said, Sean, listen, with all due respect, the Undertaker I'm fighting is not the Undertaker that retired you.
Yeah.
Have you seen the tape of him in the Royal Rumble? He can barely move.
Yes.
He looks pregnant. I think I'll be okay. Have you seen how they booked me? I didn't even have to spear Jinder Mahal.
I've beat both the tag champions twice. By exactly. Myself.
Sean, I'm totally good. Appreciate it, but I'm totally fine. But I would have been cool with.
But you know what? Reigns was saying, all right, thanks, Sean. I appreciate it. But with all due respect, essentially, I don't care what you have to say.
He said, the Undertaker retired you. And then people, everybody was booing Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
Because they know what's going to happen.
Well, and then didn't Sean say...
think I'm cute.
No, at one point he said, when he talked about the mind games, he more or less said, you're going to lose at WrestleMania. And the crowd started chanting yes.
I know. That was great.
So anyways...
I actually dug the crowd last night. They even did a CM Punk chant that I kind of dug.
Yeah.
Because it actually threw off Triple H.
I know.
It did.
So at the end of Roman's promo, he said, you know, as you brought up, Undertaker... retired you, Sean, at WrestleMania, and I'm going to retire Undertaker.
Ooh, people did not like that. They did not like that at all.
So Roman showing a little bit of edge. A little bit.
I know, but it's like not good edge. It's bad edge. It's like the Brood edge. Remember when they first started running vignettes on Edge, and it was like, what is this guy again? Like he's just
well, it didn't
out.
Help. It didn't help that the lyrics to his song were "You think you know me."
Were that wasn't his original lyrics though. I'm talking about like
no. I mean that was the only lyrics. I mean the song would kick off. You think you know me, and what? The rest was instrumental.
Yeah, that's oh yeah, that's right. It was all wah, 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 wah.
Yeah.
On this day, no the
yeah that one was later.
That was later when they first. It was just him hanging out like in alleyways and stuff.
Yeah,
and it's like and then he like appeared like he debuted and like nobody cared. It was like okay, he has a cool look.
Yeah,
it wasn't until he like hung out with Gangrel. That dude had like the best face ever. You know what Gangrel's face looked like? Remember in Total Recall when you stepped outside the dome?
Yeah.
That's it looked like 10 seconds outside the dome in Total Recall on Mars.
Your eyes start to protrude. Yeah.
He looked like he was suffering from Mars decompression.
Yeah, a little bit.
Anyways, let's see here. Then we had another segment with Foley and Stephanie.
Oh, no, you
backstage.
Skipped where Braun Strowman attacked Roman
Reigns.
Oh,
my God. He fucking, that was like a diesel truck. Oh, yeah. Boy. That was a massacre. Roman Reigns is not paying attention. And then he looks and Braun Strowman just murders
runs
him.
Over him.
Oh, my God. He freaking murdered. Did you see Jordan Devlin's head? So Jordan Devlin and Trent Seven had a match. For the ICW.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Look at this.
What
this
happened?
This is fucked up. He hit the back of his head.
Is there blood everywhere? Oh my God.
Soak it in, man. That's a
huge, huge gash.
That is like fucking, you can almost see his brain.
I know.
That is so
or his skull
up.
At least.
That is so
did they
nasty.
Stop the match?
No, he finished it. Anyways,
that's
sorry.
Ridiculous.
Sorry, guys.
How did that happen?
It fell on the back of his head.
I mean, it looks like it must have hit.
I don't know the
like
details.
An edge of something,
I
like a
know.
Sharp corner.
It looks like he got shot in the back
oh
of his
my
head.
God.
Somebody tried to split it open. I think he's fine though, but man, can't be doing that.
No.
Yeah, you guys want to know what we're talking about? Look up Jordan Devlin, ICW Trent Seven. Okay, so anyways, Braun Strowman attack. So wait, did this set up like a? Next
I think
week,
they're gonna have a match. Next
okay.
Week on Raw,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. So that's cool. Maybe it'll be. Undertaker, maybe that'll be the match that we thought we were going to get at Fastlane where Undertaker interferes.
Maybe.
Something like that.
Or maybe Braun will somehow pick up a win.
It's weird. They have like nothing to do really for Braun and nothing to do really for Sami Zayn that we know of that's like evident. They have there's like no story that they're really headed towards for Mania.
I know.
Weird. Let's see here. Then Foley Steph backstage. Again, she was just sort of poking and prodding him.
Yeah, really, really pushing him to fire somebody. And he was, you know, having a hard time doing it.
Yeah. Then we had Austin Aries versus Daivari. Good match. I love Austin
Did
Aries.
You notice that spot where Aries did like a shin breaker and then did a suplex right after it and Daivari landed right on his head?
Ooh, no, I didn't notice that. Oh, my God. That's not good. Did it look like Jordan Devlin with
no.
a giant... Like,
no, it just looked like he landed on...
Brains falling out of the
landed
back
on
his
head with his thankfully, chin tucked.
Yeesh, yeah.
So he was fine and Austin Aries picked up the win with a roaring elbow.
Did you freak out when Christopher Daniels gave Adam Cole the Styles Clash?
I'm always concerned about that.
Yeah, it freaked me out. Adam Cole immediately did that.
Mm-hmm.
Good job, Adam Cole.
I know.
Bebe. Let's see here. Aries got the win with, is that what it's called? The Roaring Elbow?
Yes.
That's a bad name for a fucking great move.
I know.
Just spins
it needs something
around.
Awesome like Rainmaker.
Yeah, I know. Rainmaker's like the best name.
What does Aries call himself? The greatest man who ever lived?
Yeah.
The greatest elbow that ever was or something like
perfect.
That.
Perfect. It's like the world's greatest moonsault. Or
yeah.
The best moonsault ever.
Yeah.
Big Show versus Titus happened next. Big Show won with 3 chokeslams. It took, that's how strong Titus is. It took 3 chokeslams. Probably actually only should have taken 1, though. They booked Titus kind of weak. Bayley and Sasha were backstage. Sasha keeps on doing this sort of passive aggressive, very slow burn, passive aggressive Kmart mom heel turn thing.
Yeah, and it was.
Don't focus on the haters. What? Haters? What? Haters?
It was interesting that
the people who say your crap.
That she, at no point, Sasha that is, came out to help Bayley during her match with Nia Jax.
Yeah. So did we skip that match?
No, I have it right here.
Oh, for last week, you mean?
No, last night. Bayley versus Nia last night.
I know. Wait, that happened after. Oh, you're saying in addition to the
fact that.
Okay, yeah. Sorry, I thought you said they were talking about that.
No.
I was like, they're talking about something that hasn't happened yet? Yeah, so Sasha's like sort of being a dick, a little bit of a dick to Bayley. And then Bayley just goes, that's kind of annoying. Like, stand up for yourself. Say what, haters?
I know.
What are you trying to do? Why are you being a dick right now, Sasha?
Yeah.
Why are you being a dick? I thought we were cool.
Yeah.
We're on Instagram together all over the place. Chris Jericho interview. This is great.
I really like that. Even though he's a face now, mm-hmm. he's still doing all the heel things.
I know.
He did when he was best
friends. It works so well.
Kevin Owens, yeah.
I know. He was calling Mike, isn't his name Mike Rome? He was
something like
calling
that.
Him Tom Phillips because
yeah.
they kind of look the same. And he put him on the list, but of course he just put Tom Phillips' name on the list.
And he announced that next week he will show who the real Kevin Owens is during a highlight reel segment.
Mm-hmm. So that'll be funny. Then we had Bayley versus Nia Jax, or essentially just Nia Jax put Bayley into the tree of woe. No. She started killing her in the corner.
And the ref called for the bell when Nia wouldn't break it up after a 5
And then
a 5
Nia
count.
Put her in the tree of woe and just sort of left her there.
And at no point did Sasha come out to help her friend.
Right, exactly.
So maybe Charlotte was right all along. Sasha got herself, manipulated herself into the title picture and is now letting Nia Jax kind of beat up on Bayley. So Sasha has a better chance of getting that woman's title.
That's good. It's a good strategy right there. Smart thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. then we had the finish of the show. This is great. So Steph comes out, drops a promo, says, Foley, you have to fire somebody. And then Foley says, you know, I couldn't do it. I've been racked all episode. I've been heartbroken. And finally, one name really stood out to me, really popped off, and I was like, man, I know for sure this is what I have to do. And he looks, Stephanie, you're fired!
He said, it's you, Stephanie. You're the one that should go.
Yeah, he says, you're a crap person. You're a liar.
A great liar, but a terrible person.
Yeah, exactly. And then he says, you need to tell that husband of yours, Triple H, that something. And then Lemmy starts singing the Triple H theme song.
Bow down to the
Triple H
comes
out
so old.
I know, and that beard is getting so full.
He just looks older and older and more and more leathery every single day.
I know,
it's great. Anyways, he runs down Foley like nobody can.
It
was amazing. It was like Attitude Era fucking times a million. It was great. Just runs down Foley because Foley's like essentially saying, you know, I don't need you guys. And then Foley's like, what about your kids?
Yeah, I know.
Or Triple H says, like, what about your
Noel
kids?
Wants to be a wrestler and Dewey works at in Stanford at the home office.
Think about them.
When you take them or when you drive them to the unemployment line or something like that, he said.
Yeah.
And so he says, Foley, essentially, shut up.
Yeah.
Do your job and get out of my ring.
Monkey. He calls him monkey.
Yeah.
He says, you dance, monkey. If she says jump, you jump as high as you can, monkey. Oh, it was great. Like, he was just laying into it. Let me say this into your good ear. And he goes to his bad ear.
I know.
I'm like, Triple H is the ear that's missing.
Yes. So Foley kind of, he drops the mic, or he puts the mic gently on the mat.
He drifts into the corner of the ring while Triple H continues on a promo, and he starts digging into his crotch. I thought he was just going to masturbate on the spot.
No, Socko, man.
Foley, he's
he heard the crowd popping.
Yeah. Well, yeah, if I hear the crowd popping for me, I'm going to start jacking off in the ring, too. So he starts like dinging around. He's like, oh, I was so humiliated just then.
So he pulls out Socko.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be his dick.
And Triple H turns around and starts yelling at Foley. He's like, get out of my ring.
Told you to get out of the ring.
And starts walking over to him. Mick turns around, applies the mandible claw. Mandible claw.
Oh, yeah, it was a sock.
And then Steph, this really was like a flashback to the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
Where Steph getting involved in stuff. Low blow to Foley.
Yeah, she does the Yano.
And then Seth Rollins' music hits.
Yeah.
Huge pop.
Big pop.
He got a huge pop.
Well, when you go away.
And then he comes out on his crutch.
Yeah. Saw this coming a mile away.
I know. Stands on the outside, stares at Triple H for a long time. They have a long stare off.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, as you just did there, Seth lifts up his crutch, drops it, runs into the ring.
Yeah.
So apparently he's been cleared only for like basic activity.
Yeah.
But he seemed like he was going full speed.
Oh yeah, no, he was good.
So he put a beating on Triple H a little bit.
Uh-huh.
But then Triple H went to the outside of the ring, grabbed the crutch,
mm-hmm.
and wailed away on Seth Rollins' knee, put him in a knee bar.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good segment.
No, it was a fantastic segment. It was really, really good, especially the part where Foley started masturbating.
That didn't happen,
in the corner of the ring.
That really didn't happen.
Oh, you humiliated me so much. I love it. Oh, man, I make myself laugh.
So all in all, a pretty fun episode of Raw.
No, I thought it was packed, man. It was good. I really liked it. So we're going to answer some questions now, because generally we do that on the show.
We're going to start with oldest because we have to, right?
Well, no, I'm sort of scrolling through a little bit. Oh, here's one with eight likes here.
Oh, yeah, we can still do that.
We can see the likes. Let's see here. Going in Raw, world gimmick table heavyweight champion Nick Parsons. If you can erase the memory of a feud so you can watch the entire thing from the start with fresh eyes, what would it be?
Good question.
I would say Stone Cold McMahon, because I came into it at WrestleMania 14 when there had already been some amount of stuff. Like, I really missed Stone Cold at his start. Like, I missed the King of the Ring promo.
Yeah.
I missed the lead up really to WrestleMania, although I caught some of it. And so to watch that again, I mean, can you think of a more entertaining feud really than Stone Cold versus McMahon? That's literally the most entertaining feud I think ever in wrestling.
Yeah.
It really is. Week to week, it escalated. It got better and better and better and better. It was really fantastic. So I would say McMahon.
I'm going to say CM Punk, John Cena.
Ooh, good answer. Good answer. Absolutely.
Because I kind of, one of the things that kind of got me back into watching wrestling was the pipe bomb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
CM Punk's pipe bomb.
Yeah.
And so I wasn't that familiar with everything that led up to that point. Now I've read up on it.
It's funny because there really isn't that much that led up to it.
Not a ton of stuff.
Like, he was on commentary for a spell, and then he became the new leader of the new Nexus. And then he sort of awkwardly transitioned to pipe bomb. Like, he just did the pipe bomb thing. But yeah, it is kind of interesting. Like, I kind of wish I can go back and see CM Punk's Straight Edge Society stuff.
Yeah.
Like, from there on,
yeah,
I think would have been kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, you can still see you can go back and see all that stuff. But with fresh eyes would have been interesting. Like, he was such a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, he was.
Everything.
Wyatt Compound Claims Adjuster, Brigadoon.
Oh, nice.
Seeing Foley hit the mandible claw on Triple H last night got me super nostalgic to see my favorite childhood superstars in action one more last time. I can't read, sorry. Ignoring current physical ailments, which legend or non-WWE retired wrestler would you like to see make one final Earl Smothers-esque old man run in the ring? Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, I know. That would be fantastic.
I mean, he looks like he's still in great shape.
Oh, dude, I know. He looks amazing. Like, he looks like he can still go.
Probably still can.
Yeah, I imagine he could. You have to respect. There has to be such a level of discipline not to come back.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you know that shit's got to be addictive.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the crowd roar, especially for him.
And by all indications, you know, Stone Cold says he's perfectly healthy. If he wanted to, he mm-hmm. probably could. He just doesn't want to.
Yeah. And, like, respecting their own legacy.
Yep.
There has to be, I mean, that's, yeah, you have to.
HBK is doubly impressive, because you could argue that his two runs
mm-hmm.
were separated by such a length of time that, you know, there's essentially two legacies to preserve.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So,
I know, yeah, his was, there was never like, yeah,
I mean, he came back and still managed to perform at such a high level.
Oh, I know. The crazy thing is they had no idea that he could do that. You know what I mean? Like, they use that street fight to sort of gauge things. I think it was a SummerSlam.
He might not even have known.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, but man, and from then on, it was he was fucking king again. Let's see here. Empire of Filth, Rot, Fuck, Drew, Sloppy, Seventh, Compton. You people are disgusting.
That's gross.
Empire of Filth. Knowing Finn Balor's house show appearance would be recorded and subsequently posted on the internets, do you think Vince is punishing us? Oh, and he pours one out for Ulysses. Rest in peace, Ulysses. I don't think Vince is punishing us. I think they do these things to sort of gauge where they're at in terms of their in-ring blah, blah, blah.
Also, I'm wondering if they were
generating some buzz.
That, but gauging interest.
Oh, you think so?
Maybe.
Oh, man, they have to know. That's slam bang interest, man.
I would think so.
That's 100% interest. All the interest in Finn Balor.
Jack Swagger's Lisp fan club president, Terrence Thompson.
Okay, I like it.
It's a good question. What the fuck could SmackDown possibly do to upstage that Foley Triple H segment? That entire segment from beginning to end was marvelous.
What do I think? What? Who can do what now?
What could SmackDown do to best the end segment? I mean, they have options.
SmackDown doesn't need to pop ratings. They just keep it steady. They keep it going.
They need to tell their stories.
AJ Shane's going to be kind of interesting tonight.
It will be.
Man, did you see Corey Graves on Bring It to the
Table? I heard about that. He said he had no interest in seeing Shane Russell AJ.
That's why Corey Graves is the best person alive.
Yep.
Yeah.
Also, Bray, Randy, they could do some interesting stuff there.
Mm-hmm. Let's see here. Here we go. One of my favorite friendos, because he gave me my Magnum TA shirt. Magnum TA champion Nathan Ragland. I don't know about you, but I found it weird that Dana Brooke was getting Chance last night. How would you? Oh, we forgot to mention that. Speaking of Chance, while Triple H is running down Foley.
Oh, you mentioned that a little bit.
He mentioned Stephanie, and they started chanting CM Punk. And he stumbled just a littlest bit.
Yeah.
Triple H fucking probably hates CM Punk. It's great. Let's see here. Nathan Ragland. I found it weird that Dana Brooke was getting Chance last night. How would you book her for the next few months? And does Emma have anything to do with those plans? I kind of think
that'd be good.
I think she does. I was thinking about that because I watched the latest Emma promo, and it's just the same one I think they've been running the last 2 weeks. I hope, number one, I definitely hope that they don't keep up with the Emma not being around shit.
Are they going to wait 17 weeks
I
to bring?
I hope not. That would heal Emma back. Legitimately annoy the shit out of me.
Oh yeah.
I would hope that that her and Dana Brooke would do something together. I think it'd be a good idea.
Yes. Connor Triple H Fun Wrestling Dunmore. Hey friendos, birthday friendo here. Happy birthday.
Oh, by the way, Matthew E. Williams
Esquire.
Yes, I was
going to mention him as well.
He's 35. He's a young man.
Happy birthday.
Wait till he gets to our age.
Happy birthday.
It's all downhill from there.
Yeah.
Current Western. I think he was the first one when he became the Western States Heritage Champion. He started the championship in questions.
Though. Yep. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, buddy.
Connor's question, is this who suit shave? What?
Hmm?
Who should shave off all their hair to make themselves look more badass?
I think hair equals more badass.
Especially facial hair.
I'm not sure that his equation doesn't fit.
Yeah.
It's like saying, it doesn't fit. Like, hair equals badass.
Mm-hmm.
Although, I'll say this, though. CM Punk looked weird with chest hair.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Because his came in really bushy.
Damo's got a lot of body hair.
Oh, I'm fine with that, because he's supposed to be like a big, disgusting guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
CM Punk.
CM Punk, he had the weird, bushy chest hair.
Yeah.
He just looked cooler without chest hair.
Yeah. Yes. There we go.
Oh, man. Let's see here. I saw a good one here.
Fat bastard champ Alex Foster. WWE told you guys that Funhouse's Sex Swing need to give a wrestler a new theme song. What wrestler would you pick?
I would have Funhouse's Sex Swing do new theme music for Breezango, because right now it's just mashup.
Oh, that's good.
It's just mashup.
That's good. That's
and I
perfect.
Feel like they would fit into the Sex Swing milieu.
That's really good.
I like this one. Tom Murphy. If WWE was legit and not fake, who do you think would be the genuine WWE champion?
Oh, Brock Lesnar.
Do you think it'd be Brock or Braun?
Does Braun have actual fighting training or experience?
Okay, Brock or Occam or Razor.
Oh, ooh.
Yeah.
Would they always
they're
be
young.
A,
they're young. That's
would they always
MMA.
Be a tandem? Like, would Brock have to take on the Authors of Pain in a real fight?
Well, number one, who wouldn't want to see that?
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
That'd be fantastic. It'd be like, oh, man, I still haven't seen Jousting MMA or Medieval MMA. I have to watch that.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy,
damn
man.
Damn it. Damn it, damn it. I'll watch it at lunch today. Let's see here.
Do you have a better answer? Brock or Authors of Pain? I guess that's the answer.
I think it'd probably be, like, they have a legit MMA record. Like, they were legit MMA guys, and they're young.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's true.
So, like, Brock is old. The easy answer is Brock, but they're the other guys. Yeah. They're fucking huge.
Yeah, they are.
They're big dudes. They're scary. They're like legit scary. But so is Brock. Brock's legit scary.
This is a good question. I like this.
Go ahead.
Hamza Hilal. Which names do you like better? He lists several wrestlers' names.
Oh, this is good. I like this.
Yeah. What do we like better? Prince Devitt or Finn Balor?
You can't go wrong with Prince Devitt.
I know.
Prince. Anything with Prince in it is great.
It's a good name.
Kevin Steen or Kevin Owens? Again, I kind of prefer Kevin Steen.
That one's a toss-up.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
Chris Hero or Cassius Ohno? Chris Hero.
Oh, Chris Hero for sure.
The Prototype or John Cena? John Cena.
Yeah, I guess John Cena.
Tyler Black.
Oh, Tyler Black.
Or Seth Rollins.
Tyler Black. Maybe not. Maybe Seth Rollins.
Yeah,
I like Seth Rollins.
I like Seth Rollins.
Seth Rollins is better.
Matt Sydal or Evan Bourne?
Sydal's a cool name.
It is.
And Evan Bourne is too indicative, too evocative of Matt Damon's movies.
Yes.
Yeah.
Aleister Black.
Oh, Tommy End.
Or Tommy End.
Tommy End.
Tommy End.
Tommy End. It bugs the shit out of me, too.
And Claudio Castagnoli or Cesaro?
I like Cesaro. Claudio Castagnoli, I think it sounds maybe cooler, but it's such a task to say. Claudio Castagnoli.
What if they...
Sounds like a good pasta dish.
What if they just called him Claudio?
No, yeah. See, yeah,
yeah,
no,
Cesaro.
Yeah. Even if they just call him Castagnoli, no good. Cesaro. Oh, man. Let's see here.
Sweet Chin Music. Hey, guys, first-time patron here. Thank you very much. I wanted to know, what do you think the plans are for Joe and Sammy? No idea.
I'm going to speculate, man. I'm going to say that next week Sami Zayn is going to come out and drop some sort of promo that'll justify them fighting at Mania.
Yeah.
That has to be the case.
It'd be interesting if they did do Joe and Finn Balor.
Yeah.
If they gave us another Sammy Braun Strowman match.
No, I would be totally on board with that.
I think that'd be cool.
I'd be definitely on board with that. Lunatic Fridge, who do you think is, what are you guys expecting the best match to be at Mania?
Owens Jericho or Neville Austin Aries? That's what I think.
I'm going to say if in terms of announced matches, I would say Owens Jericho. Unannounced matches, Sami Zayn, Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
I'm starting to think that they're saving that shit up for Mania.
Zubaz champion Alex Shez. Do you think the road to WrestleMania is suffering by the WWE trying to fit everyone onto the card as opposed to building logical and compelling storylines?
I'll say this, man. They haven't had to, at least they get to execute their plan this year. There's no like last minute injuries that's fucking everything up. Like last year was horrible.
Well, Seth Rollins' injury almost made that.
Yeah, I know. That's true. It almost did. Yeah. Carlos Hackworth had a question, our low level WWE writer. He said, do you think Finn is going to feud with Triple H?
I would be surprised at some point in the future.
It would have to be a SummerSlam or a Mania.
Yeah.
Like that. And I would love to see that.
Yeah.
I would really like to see that.
Yeah. You've been wanting to see that for a little while now.
Because it makes sense. It totally makes sense. Especially if Triple H is going to build this new evolution out of like NXT guys, and then Finn Balor can be the one man who stands against
him.
Yeah. I think it'd be great. I was thinking about that the other day too. Like, it would be, I would love for Pete Dunne, like for a couple different reasons, to be in that new evolution.
Yeah.
I love that all three men that would be in that would have their Achilles heel. Like Samoa Joe is the Destroyer, but maybe he's 5 years past his prime. And I love that about him because that can be his thing.
Yeah.
Kevin Owens, he's dominant, but he's also paranoid.
Yeah.
And he can't figure out how to be in it for himself and be part of a faction. And then Pete Dunne could be the guy who's just like the loose cannon. You have, he's the young dude.
Yeah.
You never know what he's going to. So everybody has their weakness.
Despite being part of a faction, Pete Dunne is still all about making a name for himself.
Exactly. And you never know what he's going to do.
That's good.
I like that all three guys would have those sort of weaknesses.
Yeah, yeah,
and that's
what
you need in characters.
Yeah. Next.
I like this one. The Greek Freak Steve Papa. What finishers or signature moves do you hate the most?
There are some. I'm just drawing a blank for some reason. Powerbomb's great.
Powerbomb's great.
Let's look at.
Oh, you've never been a fan of the spear, have you?
Not as a finisher, no.
I like the spear with Goldberg because it set up the jackhammer.
Yeah, spear's fine.
Everybody sold it so well for Goldberg. I feel like either Roman doesn't know how to do it right, or people don't sell it right. But Roman's spear is ugly.
The only spear that I kind of was okay with as a finisher was Rhino's gore.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That one I was fine with because it fit his character.
Because the Roman doesn't have a good finisher. Like, his Superman punch is crap. I hate the Superman punch. It's so ugly.
I know.
It's dumb. I'm trying to think of other wrestlers. Pop-up Powerbomb's great. Codebreaker's great. What did you call that elbow? The Roaring Elbow?
Yeah.
I like that. That's really good.
Rainmaker, great.
Oh, it's great. Honestly, I'm not huge on the one-winged angel.
Oh, you're not?
Not really. Because how do you hit it on a guy like Ishii?
He was trying to.
He's trying to.
The hardest part is just getting him up.
I know. You have to get somebody up. It looks like it's just a big task. And then you have to like grab their head and then do this. I don't know. I'm not huge into it.
I like it.
I like shit that comes out of nowhere.
Oh, I do too. That's why the RKO is the best.
It's not the best.
It is the best.
I like that Sister Abigail, though.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Oh, so do we have, like, do we know firmly? Chris Kimmel says so after the Seth Rollins Triple H segment. My question is, was Seth ever... So Seth was actually injured. He was injured.
Yeah, he did. I had at least a partial tear of his MCL.
Mm-hmm. But after last night, I mean, was he...
I think...
He's not going to be wrestling.
What I read was he was cleared for partial, or I think as the report phrased it, basic activity. So I guess that would mean running and doing some basic striking, but I don't think he'd been cleared to probably lift anything really yet.
Right. Ernesto Rivas, first time patron here. Thank you.
Thank you.
My question is, if Foley was able to do one more hardcore match, who would you want him to face from the current roster, and what weapons would you have them use?
It'd be Dean Ambrose.
Samoa Joe.
No, that's a good answer too.
I would prefer Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
Dean is a good answer. We never got that Dean Foley thing. But
I would
love to see Foley versus Samoa Joe.
Tristan Larson. First time patron here. Thank you very much. After Wrestle Kingdom 11 reports surface that WWE wants to one up them potentially, do you think any match at WrestleMania this year could get 5 stars or be on the level of the last 4 matches at Wrestle Kingdom 11?
So we're just looking at 5. Well, let's just try to 5 because nothing's going to hit 6 stars. Let's aim for
Zane
5.
Joe, if it were to happen,
Zane
potentially.
Joe could potentially do it.
Owens, Jericho, potentially. I think just based more on the storytelling options, but I don't think necessarily on the wrestling per se. That's it.
That might be a 4. I think the ceiling for Owens, Jericho is 4 stars. You know, I think AJ Shane?
You know how I feel about that match.
I feel the same way.
I know AJ is brilliant in the ring.
AJ's like a walking 5-star match.
He's a walking 4-star match at least. I'm pessimistic about that match, but I'm hopeful that they can do something interesting with it.
Yeah.
Or there's always possibility that Shane will say, I'm not going to wrestle. Here, Shinsuke Nakamura is going to wrestle instead of me.
Shinsuke keeps on talking about that too.
I know. He really wants to be at WrestleMania. I know.
Fucking just do it. You have the power to do it. Sweet Chin. Oh, we already talked about let's see here. Travis Parker, he says, if you answer this, I will go to Internet Darlings Live. We'll answer it. You don't have to.
Yeah.
There's no quid pro quo here. Hey, friends, first time patron. I'm going to this year's WrestleMania, and it'll be my first one. As fans, this is Travis Parker. As fans that have been to WrestleMania, what are some of the things I should look forward to and just take in at the spectacle that is WrestleMania?
Get there as early as you can. And granted, like last year,
wear comfy clothes.
Yes.
It's going to be a very long show.
Last year, I remember hearing that they had some problems getting people in on time.
Oh, yeah, I know.
But like when we went to the one in Santa Clara, well, you showed up like right when it's starting.
Yeah.
But Hilton and I got there, I don't know, probably an hour before the actual pre-show started.
Right.
And so we just got to sit there and, you know, the stadium was mostly empty and just got to look around, walk around a little bit, just soak it all in.
Yeah.
Before it got crazy.
Yeah.
And that was fun. Just being able to sit in our seat. Thankfully, they were in the shade. And just sit there and look at the set and look at the whole setup they have for the ring and around the ring. It's just cool to be able to take that opportunity without all the other stuff going on to soak in, you know, how huge the show really is.
Yeah.
So that would be my first bit of advice.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Charles Sips, first-time patron. Jim Ross. Thank you. Jim Ross is called DDP the most overachieving superstar of all time. Interesting. So who are your biggest overachieving and underachieving superstars of all time? Who
did you DDP is a really good answer. Yeah. Because I think he didn't start trading until he was 35 or something like that.
Who did you expect the most of and did the least? And who did you expect the least of but did the most?
Underachiever. And I'm not trying to talk shit either.
Yeah.
I mean, he had a decent first run in WCW, but it seemed like everything after his run in WWF, he was underachieving there.
Most overachieving superstar.
And then when
you
go to WCW, he had some high moments, but by and large, he never made the impact I think they thought he would.
Yeah, yeah. I want to, Luger's a good answer.
Another overachiever, though.
I want an overachiever.
He might not think this, but I think, at least in the eyes of WWE executive, CM Punk was an overachiever.
I was about to say CM Punk.
I'm sure he had all the confidence in himself.
Because, he's a backyard wrestler at one point. Yeah.
I mean, he's not a terribly large guy.
Right.
He's probably, 6'2"?
Yeah.
215 pounds?
Yeah.
Which, by WWE standards, is a pretty small wrestler.
What did he fight in the UFC at? 185?
Something like that. Okay. Yeah, he had to drop a lot of weight.
Ramiro Magdaleno gets a shout out. First time patron. Very excited for my first live stream. That's good.
Awesome.
Good. All right. Oh, man. I got some pack. We'll do that for the SmackDown one tomorrow.
Okay.
Time for. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Oh, it's on my computer.
Oh, Daniel Bryan. Overachiever.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. That's another good answer.
Yeah, but there's a difference between underachieving and then, so there's, underachieve or overachieving based on what we know the WWE will give them.
Versus the, DDP, he started training at a relatively old age.
Right.
And, based solely on that, at least.
He didn't start wrestling until he was 35.
Yeah, the huge disadvantage he had in the fact that he had probably worked, I won't say twice as hard as everybody else, but he had to work his ass off.
Yeah.
To catch up the speed and eventually be world champion is an impressive feat.
Yeah, for sure. All right, are you ready?
Yeah.
It's Kayfabe Corner, the most dominant trivia challenge. Something.
You're up.
I'm like five. I'm by a five.
Yeah, I think so.
I think by five.
Yeah, five. Five's good.
Quite a bit.
So I need a good score today.
You need a good score today. Number one.
One.
By the way, Kayfabe Corner, there's 12 names. Some of them are real, some are fake.
Two trivia bonus questions.
Two bonus questions.
What's the theme today?
Oh, yeah. Rebby Sky Hardy.
And who was the other option to vote on?
Double J Slapnuts.
Did he get any votes?
A couple.
Okay.
I put up a really sexy picture of Rebby, though. She's hot. Good job, Matt Hardy. Number one.
One.
Lady Vane.
Spell Vane.
V-A-I-N-E.
Real.
Very good. Jessa Jameson.
Fake.
Very good. Minnie Park.
I spell Minnie.
M-I-N-I.
Fake.
Real. Tab O'Neill.
Real.
Fake. Canadian.
Real.
Fake. You know what's funny about that? I was going to put a different name after it. I mean, I was going to put Canadian something.
Yeah.
There might be, if there's a wrestler out there simply named Canadian, not the Canadian.
Yes.
Canadian.
Just Canadian with no indefinite article before it.
Panther Claw.
Real.
Very good. Nikki Corleone.
Real.
Very good. The Midnight Diva.
Fake.
Real.
Oh.
Mr. Bigums.
Real.
Fake. Major Cuck.
That's fake.
Could be real. Sexy Sophia.
Real.
Fake.
How many fakes do you have on this list?
I can't tell you until afterwards.
Seems like a lot.
La Parquita.
Real.
Real, yes, correct.
Six.
Bonus questions.
How many fakes do you have on there?
I don't know.
It seemed like a lot.
No, it's half and half.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Number one, bonus question.
Okay.
Rebby made her indie circuit debut in 2012, teaming with what tag team to face Miss Jackie and Shelton Benjamin and Charlie Haas?
What year?
2012. Indie circuit debut 2012. She teamed with a tag team to take on Miss Jackie and the world's greatest tag team of Shelton Benjamin and
Young Charlie Bucks. Haas.
No, it was Kendrick and London.
Oh.
Yeah. Number two.
Two.
In 2016, she turned heel with Matt Hardy after aligning with what TNA star in a program against EC3?
Oh, that was it was Tyrus.
Very good. Very good. Very good. Seven. So you got one. You got seven. So I'm up by...
No, I'm up by
you're
two.
You're up by two, but then two. I have next
yes.
week as...
To even the turns.
Okay, well, I got to put in a good...
Well, hold on. Let me see if there's a wrestler called Canadian.
Oh, yeah. Wrestler Canadian. I'm going to go to chat, see if chat knows. Is there anybody named Canadian? Can't be the Canadian.
No, just Canadian.
Has to be Canadian. It's not looking good.
Yeah, probably.
Nobody just says, hey, what's your name? Canadian.
Canadian.
Canadian what?
Canadian.
Just Canadian.
All right.
All right.
Thank you, everybody. We got a bonus episode due. What are we going to do it on?
Oh, today's bonus episode, we're going to do top 10 Lex Luger moments. That's what we're going to do. Top 10 Lex Luger moments.
Okay.
I think we can come up with 10 good ones.
All right.
Anyways, all you patrons, stay tuned for the bonus episode. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.